Welcome to this special edition of STP Radio, the STP Con Spring 2015 Keynote Series. Time to hear from Brad Johnson, VP Product Marketing at SOSTA, as he introduces his keynote entitled, The Measures of Quality, a fresh take on metric promises to inspire and provoke you to consider new ways to quantify the value of quality. Recorded on April 2nd, 2015.
Just wanted to mention before we start our keynote at lunch that if you haven't filled out the evaluations for the entire conference, please be filling those out. You can bring them up right after the keynote. We're going to have a drawing for a free registration to the next conference. And also stick around because after the keynote, we're going to give away two prizes today. So without further ado, we're going to introduce Brad Johnson. He's a cloud testing pioneer. He is the VP of Product Marketing at SOSTA, and he has been the head of testing and monitoring products at CompuWare, Mercury Interactive, and also Borland. So let's give a big hand for Brad Johnson. Yay.
Thanks, buddy. Hi, everyone, and thank you for the opportunity. Excited to be here at this show doing this speech. I'd like to thank Joe Orz for telling you all that this is the prime time for you to be paying attention. And I got so lucky as to also get the same prime time right after lunch. So I expect total concentration and, you know, just awesome results from this session. I got the introduction. So one thing that I said to the earlier group that I had a session with is I've worked at every major enterprise software company except for IBM, and my life's not over yet, so we'll see what happens. And at all of these, I've seen a lot of trends in the testing industry. So I was wondering if I was going to say this. So I've been selling to testers for 15 years. And so the trends and the development shifts and the technology shifts that have affected testers in the quality space for quite a while have been kind of the companies that I work prime focus. So we're always trying to get into your heads, figuring out what's going to make you better and what are the other trends that are impacting how to make you better. So I thought that because of the surge in interest and debate and argument around metrics in the industry, I figured what better topic to start a session off and then around, you know, how do we actually measure what we do. So I'm hoping that you'll see this is quite a different take on this because it's really looking at a couple different perspectives. What I thought I would do, because you know we are a testing and quality-oriented audience, is I would start my session with the definition of quality. So please react accordingly to the next slide. The point here is, you know, the definition of quality is can be subjective, can be different from one company to the next. I did expect you all to go no, but that didn't work. So there you go. The point here is that I personally have defined quality at one point, right? Every organization defines quality at some point. The point is every organization is a QA team or a testing team or maybe even a dev team, and they're defining quality for their company, right? So we come up with some fantastic descriptions of quality, right? ISO and ASQ and Six Sigma all have great definitions of quality. I don't think anybody would really argue with any of these. They're actually proven. Of course they're proven. They're in Wikipedia, for Pete's sake. So these are absolutely the definition of quality if you know what testing is, if you know what development is, right? Love this graph. So if you are on the right side of this chart, you care about those definitions of quality. If you are a lot of other people that you work with and interact with, you know, what is quality, right? What is quality to aunts and uncles and grandmothers and mothers and siblings, and what is quality to them? I thought I'd spend some time on that because we need to make sure that we're paying attention as we articulate the value of what we do to this doesn't care segment. And the point is that you know, it would be awesome if everybody was just like us. I mean, that's the history of the world. Wouldn't it be awesome if everybody was just like us? But it's not the case. I hear a no, so I totally concur. We live in different worlds, right? We work in different worlds. part of interacting with other human beings is actually the joys of, you know, figuring out what makes other people tick. So we need to figure out how do we articulate metrics that matter to other organizations. So what I thought I would do is kind of look at, well, what is quality, right? How do non-tech people define quality? Right? And I kind of thought of, you know, so quality has actually been my whole professional existence, even before the testing stuff. I've always been focused on high quality, but again, it's a perspective that you got to think about. So if I'm a diamond broker, of course I'm looking at, you know, critical metrics that define a diamond, right? And actually this is obviously filtered into how we all think of the quality of a diamond and all that. But there is one aspect of a diamond that kind of divides, you know, how quality is perceived, and that is the cost. But at the end of the day, you have brokers defining carat and cut and clarity and all that, right? These are their metrics as a broker and as a valuation and all that kind of stuff. At the end of the day, who cares or who's the judge of the quality? It's the receiver. It's the end user. It's who gets that diamond. And the perspective of that end user, if you will, is absolutely driven by their expectations. I mean, if I know that, you know, if my future spouse knows that I, you know, don't make a lot of money, they're not expecting a 6-carat diamond ring. Whatever I can give them is the best quality that they can get, right? So it's all about the eyes of the beholder in a lot of cases. Right, here's my I'm a car guy set of slides. I'm a car guy. So that's a Hyundai. Aren't they cute? Hyundais are currently rated by J.D. Powers as one of the highest quality cars in the marketplace. And it's rated on things like economy, you know, lack of service calls, reliability, all those awesome things. Hyundai is not a McLaren P1. Okay? For me personally, when I define quality, I like 900 horsepower. I like 217 miles per hour. I don't necessarily like $1.1 million price tags, but that is a quality automobile. And so perspective, depending on who you talk to, this is what metrics are about. Metrics that matter to whom. Here's another one that I like. We're in California, fresh from the garden, high quality produce, right? Important metrics to measure the quality of this kind of fare is it locally sourced, right? Is it organic, right? Is it sustainable? You know, obviously taste and all that good stuff is important. So high quality produce is one thing. High quality food is one thing defined by one set of users, but that's quality too to a set of consumers, right? So, you know, a perfectly heated, consistent, what is that, a Big Mac? A lot of people who are aficionados of this particular type of food go, you know, there's nothing like a high-quality McDonald's hamburger, right? And high-quality does mean, you know, it can vary from store to store, but at the end of the day, this is somebody else's measure of quality. So one thing is in common about everything about users is that users define quality. We're all in the business of building and delivering services to users. I don't expect debate on that. That's what we do. If we work for a company, whether it's for profit or for nonprofit, we're all employed because we're delivering a service. And at the end of the day, the consumers of that service are going to provide input to the quality of that service. And they're not going to define quality by in the terms sometimes that we do. But they'll let us know. Right? They'll absolutely let us know that when things are good or when things are bad. So my premise is that, you know, business success is tied to user success. So at the end of the day, the businesses measure how their services are being consumed in metrics that tie to that business, to tie to their business. And so if we always think about the services we deliver in the context of how is a user going to be impacted or you know, how is their life going to get better? How is their experience going to be better for what we do, what we test for, and we always think about that whenever we do anything, then we start thinking about the right metrics, the things that our companies think about. So what I thought was interesting is, well, how are all of the organizations that we deal with metric? What are they measuring? What are they focusing on? And I was able to correlate that, you know, really all of the organizations, whether it's finance or sales or marketing or support, they all focus at the end of the day on the success of the service that they're providing into the market, even finance. Now, I've tried to provide some funny kind of backdrops for a lot of these things. Do you know that there's nothing funny about finance? I mean, seriously, you look up like finance and funny on Google, and it's just a lot of off-color stuff that I couldn't put. But the point here is that how does finance measure what they do? Well, obviously, these things like profitability, right, and ROI, and margin and asset allocation. But at the end of the day, they're looking at the ROI of the investment we've made in an engineering organization to deliver services to our end users. And if our end users don't adopt and we don't make money, then people in IT and development lose their jobs, right? It feels like a numbers thing, but it's at the end of the day completely tied to the success of customers. And there's sales. Remember that scene? I looked at it when I was pulling this up. So it's really funny, actually, really funny. Chris Farley, rest in peace, you know, super, super funny guy. But at the end of the day, sales is all about customers. Sales is all about end users, success. Because if they can't get you and your managers convinced that what they're selling is going to make your life better, they fail. And right, their measurements are really clear. You know, they're measured on, the way we look at it sometimes is, you know, everything that leads to selling a service to an end user. So sales is driven by user success, customer success, right? So they know that very, very well. Support, can you read this? We can't pick stupid, but at least you can still blame it on our product. God bless support, right? These people are on the front lines of making sure that your customers are getting the service that you promised. How many of you have really close relationships with your customer support organization? That's not very many, right? These guys know that your product is delivering the value that you guys worked for years to deliver. They know it. They know what sucks. They know what doesn't. They know what customers complain about. And their metric on how fast they can pick up the phone to that customer. Their metric on, you know, how quickly can I solve that customer's problem? And it's not easy when your software or your system has a massive bug or a massive issue, right? These guys are out there covering our butts every single day because of deficiencies that we let through because we didn't focus on, hey, what's the end user experience going to be? So, you know, a little bit of blame thrown there. But at the end of the day, these guys are the front lines of that end user experience. So why is IT so special? Why does IT get a pass to develop metrics that are really difficult to tie to the success of an end user? So, this is a big statement. So at the end of the day, yes, we can point what we do to kind of making users happy. But let me pick on ops first. So operations, you know, kind of they've grown up through systems administration, systems monitoring. You know, a lot of the primary metrics they focus on are server availability and network throughput. And things like average aggregate response time for sets of users, who knows who they are, but we'll pull it all together and we get an average number and we're good. They and this isn't bad, they use synthetic monitoring. They use essentially a robot that says, hey, I believe that my users are going to go to my accounting system, they're going to look up their, you know, they're going to look up their account, they're going to make a change, and then they're going to commit that change. And that's a good monitor. I'm going to put that out for monitoring my online accounting system or whatever. And that's a synthetic monitor, so that's good. And when that's bad, then I know to react. But you know what? We're humans, right? The most interesting thing when you start looking at, for instance, real user monitoring is that, you know, imagine that or imagine that humans don't actually do what you expect them to do, right? We're special that way, right? So there's a lot of controls, a lot of measurements, a lot of metrics that actually operations people use to manage their day-to-day life that is difficult to tie back to, you know, a user in Plano, Texas, that just can't log on. And by the way, that's one user or one set of users that nobody's actually paying attention to right now because we're throwing a bunch of synthetic monitors out, you know, in another way. So we're not actually monitoring that one. So these guys are focused on things that aren't necessarily tied back to the business. Developers, I mean, there is one thing that I've really taken away from this week is that, you know, we're getting better at Agile. You know, a large number of people in the session I just did raise their hands, you know, that they made good progress with Agile. So we're really good at let's compartmentalize our work item. Let's get everybody aligned and focused on what we're delivering, and let's get it out faster. Awesome. So that means, you know, how can we write less code and be more efficient? How can we optimize our code quality, right? I'm being measured as a developer by how readable my code is. All these things that are being measured by the dev team that at the end of the day aren't getting correlated into, well, how does all this pull together and actually deliver something that somebody can use? Another massive revelation for me just talking to people over the last couple of days is that it still seems like a large-scale integrated test of everything that everybody works so hard on is still a rarity, right? The ability to actually run, you know, the most critical end-user use cases from the device, if I need to, all the way to the deepest database and third-party services, is not a test that gets run very often. Are you kidding me? That's something that I don't understand, but I think a little bit of light of that is that everybody's focused on their little work units and getting better at delivering those without the whole thing. Right, so I think we've almost caused a problem with this agile approach where I'm good at this, but I'm not good at this. So here these guys are focused on, you know, things that I can measure because I'm in total control of it. And we are not off the hook. Sorry. From a test standpoint, now you can throw barbs at me, right? Defects are not the best metric to measure. We all know that by now. How many are still massively incented to produce a lot of defect reports or find as many bugs as they can? That's, you guys, that's huge, right? It's not our prime metric. Does the rest of the company agree with you? You guys don't report bugs? What's your bug rate? What's your burn down rate, right? Anybody who's been in IT for 10 years is gonna ask those kind of questions because of the perspective that was generated, again, from outside being in, you know, we've been in this testing, we've all been in testing for a long enough time to realize that's not how you measure quality, right? But a lot of people still do. And so very frequently we are actually still required to produce bug reports and defect burn down, all that good stuff. And that's okay, but measuring things like how many tests did we run, what kind of tests, what's our test coverage, these are all things, and even how fast we are, as long as it can be a problem if that speed isn't in context to this end-to-end set of deliverables. So go back to, okay, well how many of us are really thinking about the end-user experience every single day when we're writing test cases, when we're running these test cases, right? Or are we getting wrapped into the machinery of you know, rapid continuous delivery or whatever, and forgetting that end game. So I've done a lot about, you know, end user and customer, and that's definitely, you know, kind of, you know, very deliberate. But, you know, at the end of the day, we're also talking about, oops, I jumped ahead of myself. So let me come back to the point I made earlier, which is we live in our own world, right? So I kind of threw together, you know, the testing jargon cloud, right, which is all these very important things that we focus on. There's a few that aren't here, I noticed a little while ago, but you know, I just kind of sat down and you know, my favorite always is cyclomatic complexity because everybody cares and knows about that. It's an important concept, right? You know, how you know, all of these things are very important concepts, but if I don't work in test, I don't know what that means. None of those things are meaningless to me. So for me to be as part of, you know, even reporting on quality and using jargon that nobody knows or the second slide cares about, it doesn't do us any good. So what we need to do is figure out how do we tie what we're doing every day, so not making any big changes, just understanding what do I do today and how do I tie it to things that are important. It's in your best interest. Your job may depend on it, right, for your ability to kind of quantify the value of your efforts to your company. You know, and this is important. So not only is it, you know, meaningless to end users, again, the people in your company, your stakeholders, don't care about cyclomatic complexity. They don't care that's how you got faster. They don't care that's how you achieved your goals. It doesn't matter to them. They have a limited vocabulary because users are pretty binary or trinary. Right? It's good, it's bad, or it's somewhere in the middle, right? And so When you start thinking about how you communicate your value, you have to simplify the terminology you use to business terms, right? So users are pretty binary, and so since users are pretty binary, I would make the assertion that, you know, people in general are pretty binary, right? We're all very complex, super smart people, but at the end of the day, good, bad, or in the middle. That's kind of how we are, and that's trinary again. So everybody you're dealing with inside of your company is exactly the same way. So speak in terms that they understand. So I'm going to speak in some business terms. So everything, with the exception of the last metric that I'm going to show or point that I'm going to make, comes directly from testing efforts, right? So one of our clients, it's simple. It's, the other thing is a simple math. I'm okay at math. I'm not great at math, so I like simple math. When you need to explain your calculations to non-technical people, it's sometimes nice to be able to say, well, it's simple math. But that being said, you rarely actually have to really defend these numbers if you report them and you really believe in them, right? So this number comes from a major U.S. greeting card manufacturer who's online and in stores and everything else. Real simple metric. In the time it used to take us to build 3 tests, we now build 15 tests. What does that mean? Oh, we're faster. It's important. It's a productivity gain of 500%. That's what changing our process did for us. That's what, you know, adopting a new automation tool did for us. That's what it did. And so when somebody asks you, or your boss's boss needs to know, how would you, you know, kind of qualify what you guys do? Well, productivity gain, that's easy. That's easy math. This one is probably one that you don't actually think too much about, but it's pretty easy if you're just trying to make your life better by using automation or figuring out, you know, better ways to utilize hardware or figuring out some way to use the cloud instead of a bunch of IT data center resources. You can look at, hey, what did we pay? What, you know, just ask a few questions. And those finance people, they kind of understand these terms. Hey, what did we pay for this stuff last year? And what are we paying now? Oh, okay. Well, gee, that's a 50% operational cost reduction in test hardware, right? That's this is why cloud is so awesome, right? I mean, because cloud is the no-brainer business value of, hey, I don't have to buy that server anymore. It's 5 cents an hour. That's easy. And while it's going to make your job easier, just remember, well, what's this doing for the company? How is this increasing my productivity? And what kind of metrics can I pull out of my efforts and put into something that I could share? This is one of my favorites. This came right out of a customer that adopted automation for mobile. And so this particular customer, he talks publicly about this all the time. So it's FIS Mobile. And he was able to, a guy named Stephen Winter, he's actually on the speaking circuit, so you may hear from him eventually. You know, these guys were able to adopt a mobile test automation framework. And that took 4 weeks of manual testing effort and bundled it into an overnight automated process. And so that's phenomenal, right? That's the promise of test automation. But at the end of the day, the person who was most impressed was the CFO of the company, who said, this was a 4-week delay in our ability to go to market. So by automating this process, you bring us to market 25% faster. So that's the, I mean, that came right from the CFO, so that's a good metric. But at the end of the day, I hadn't, and this is a funny thing, as a marketing guy, you know, it takes a customer saying this for me to go, oh, awesome, I'm going to use that. Because this is impact to the business. When people from SOSTA go talk to SVPs of IT, this is the kind of thing they talk about, right? Because this is impacting the business and the business services that we're all delivering to customers. And this is what you get when you step into 2015. So this is a company that I can't name, a well-known retailer with millions of users daily. And what they were doing is they were looking at what real users are doing. Every second of every day, they're getting a good profile of what real users are doing. And they're able to modify how they test based on where their users are coming from, what their peak loads per second, per day, per hour are, and they're able to do better performance testing. And by monitoring what's happening in real time, they're able to actually identify how users of their system are impacted by performance. So you can look at things like conversion rates and bounce rates with the big data that they're able to utilize, and then make some big assumptions that, hey, you know what, wow, you know, it looks like we lose customers when we lose a half, you know, when we lose a second of revenue or a second of response time. So maybe we should focus on that. And actually, maybe we should focus on that in one segment of the U.S. because the other guy's conversion rate seems fine. So they're looking at data and they're going, hey, you know, where should we focus? And this is all coming from real user behavior. And at the end of the day, they said, okay, well, wait a minute. How do we actually? What if we improved the performance of our site by half a second? What would that do? And they were able to come up with a revenue number on that. And they were actually able to go down so granular that they were able to say, if we improved the performance of our site by 100 milliseconds, we would reclaim $20 million of revenue. And that was all realized through a true DevOps approach, an approach where the operations teams were tightly coupled with the testing teams and the performance teams, and they were all able to sit down and dig into this data and go, why should we focus on performance and not new functionality? These guys actually delayed launching new functionality in lieu of fixing this 100 millisecond performance problem. And that's that's where this whole focus on end users, focus on quality, focus on what matters really comes to a head. And this is by doing a blended approach of operations and test and everybody working together, focusing on a metric. $20 million is a pretty good metric to get everybody aligned on one thing. So point here is that these are the metrics that you can deliver with just a little bit of work. So how do you find your metrics? Who's a geocacher? All right. Who has no clue what geocaching is? Okay. Y'all know what it is, but don't do it. So that's fine. So the point is, geocaching was impossible before 2000, right? Nobody did there was a form of it. It took a lot longer and it was a lot harder before 2000. But as soon as GPS became publicly available, geocaching took fire. And so now you can find things that are really, really, or would have been really, really hard to find, sometimes never found, by metrics on your cell phone, right? So essentially it's GPS, right? So it's lat long coordinates, and you go look in a 16-foot perimeter and you find stuff, and sometimes it's really hard to find. But the point is, you can find it if you have the metrics. You guys all have the metrics today to do, you know, the kind of stuff that I was just talking about. So here's my 10 things that I want you to memorize. But when I sat down and looked at what are the kind of things that we need to think about without actually making any big changes. So first of all, what are you measuring right now? What are the stats that you guys use to run your daily business? What do your managers use to report on your productivity and all that? What do you have today? So if you don't have what you need, that's one thing, right? But at the end of the day, you figure out what you've got, and then it's not, if you're a public company, who's at a public company? Okay, all right, 30% maybe. It shouldn't be too hard to figure out what your company thinks is important. Actually, that's kind of a silly comment, right? But it's silly, but some people actually don't know what their company does, right? So that's a pet peeve of mine. We can talk about it offline. But what makes your company successful? So think of that. That's their metric. That's how they're driving their business, right? It might be revenue. Usually it's revenue, right? But it could be other things. But what's important to the company? What's important to your end users? Do you actually know what makes your end consumer really happy about the service that you're building and providing? If you don't, you probably should. That's a good thing no matter what you do with that. But there's something, another set of metrics. What makes a user happy? And then try to see if those effort, everything that you do is tied into those, at least one or two of those things, right? Is it users focused, which I hopefully have made the point that if it's focused on the user, it's going to be pretty close to what the business focuses on. So, you know, verify that what you're doing maps to those things, and then just start tracking things. And you might be doing this already, right? I mean, velocity is the biggest, you know, metric that we're all talking about in the agile world. Let's go faster. Well, how slow were you in the beginning? And are you actually tracking that? You very well may be, because that's a great metric to show, you know, in your scrum, in your stand-ups and everything else, that, hey, we're making good progress on. Well, have you actually thought, so what is the time savings? And also, you know, how much faster are you? So, you know, I say, you know, 500 hours, that's one metric, right? How much faster are we? 25% faster? What do those things mean? And again, this boils down to simple math, so I'll get to point 10. How have you reduced costs? And if you aren't, maybe you should think about how could I reduce costs? And again, just track all this stuff. If you're on a team, then obviously the aggregate of the savings gets bigger. Do I not have know what you're worth? I don't. I thought maybe I changed it. You actually should know what you cost to employ. So if you know the average cost of an FTE or however you're employed, if you know what you cost, then if you can figure out something that saves 100 man hours, then you know exactly what you're saving the company. Right? That gets a little personal, but you should know. By the way, you're worth a lot more than you're paid. But at the end of the day, you are a salary and some benefits and all that stuff, and that's a tough realization. But that's what we are. If we're employed by somebody. So what's that worth? And if I can save 10 man hours, 100 man hours, right, that's a good thing. That's a measurable thing. And you can tie it into this kind of stuff, and it really makes a lot of sense. That factored into cost savings in that one case study that I had. Because they were actually able to do more with less people, sorry to say, but they moved people around and had them do better things, right? Arguably, there's nothing better to do than a manual tester that does nothing but, you know, tests manually and then does the same thing five times than to give them power of automating what they do, right? So that's something you could directly map to. Why should we use automation? Because we're paying this person this much, and you know we should figure that out. It's really important to understand how performance intersects with your user experience for that $20 million reason. You know, in my earlier talk, I talked about, you know, there was a standard, and that's a terrible word, but there was a standard set that 3 seconds on a website was if it was over 3 seconds, that was too long. And that is baloney. Absolutely not true. But people began to think that web performance, you know, was kind of measured and three seconds was bad. Well, you know what? It's not bad if you're, I'll use this again for excuse me, it was in my session. It's not bad if you're in Australia where, you know, to do anything takes 8.5 seconds, right? So you know, you need to understand how users are affected by the performance of your app and then figure out where you can optimize that app based on that, you know, the set of users that you care about. So you need to get good at that. And then, like I said, do simple math, you know, speed, efficiency, productivity, little business terms, right? How can you put what you do into business terms? And then from there, you may need to make some adjustments. This is for you, Mark. You need to make some adjustments. They might be big, they might be small, but at the end of the day, if you start focusing on your value, your team's value, from a business perspective, you may start actually focusing on different things or adjusting different things. And then really my close is, once you've understood that, you know, you've got to figure out how to articulate this stuff and present it, you need to share it. So at the end of the day, you need to figure out how to share these metrics. And if you don't feel comfortable sharing this stuff with your manager, you know, have your manager do it. Have your team roll up and say, you know what? I don't know what you want to call it. You know, team A, you know, reduced costs by 35% this year over last year, right? And you just share that, and people pay attention to that, right? It's showing the value you're bringing, and it's showing your effectiveness at doing what you do. So I wish I had a really big whiz bang end, but that's kind of the gist of what I was here to talk about. So, anybody have any comments or questions? Or all right, well, thank you very much.
Thank you for listening to this episode of STP Radio. Join our mailing list and learn more about STP and future STPCon events at softwaretestprofessionals.com.